The Book of Daniel, number 120, Unveiling the Prophetic Signs, Understanding the Fulfillment of Biblical Prophecies. Key Takeaways. Throughout history, the signs foretold by Jesus concerning the sun, moon, and stars have been a subject of scrutiny and interpretation among historians, Adventist pioneers, and followers of Sister White's writings. While some signs are well known, others remain obscured, such as the distress of nations and the shaking of powers in heaven and earth. This article delves into the fulfillment of these signs, drawing parallels between Millerite history and the present era. It explores the significance of the three angels' messages, the parable of the ten virgins, and the prophetic events outlined in Revelation, shedding light on the interconnectedness of reform movements and the emergence of the 144,000. By examining biblical passages and historical contexts, it aims to deepen understanding of eschatological events and their relevance to contemporary times. Fulfillment of signs in sun, moon, and stars. The signs prophesied by Jesus have historical fulfillment, including earthquakes, tempests, and pestilence. Recent calamities serve as warnings of impending decisive events, signaling the end times. Parallelism in reform movements. Historical Reformation movements mirror the progression of the three angels' messages, illustrating divine principles across ages. The work of the first and second angels parallels that of the third angel, as seen in the Millerite and present-day movements. Interpretation of biblical symbols. Revelation's depiction of seven thunders signifies past and future events, aligning with the Millerite history and the last days. The parable of the ten virgins symbolizes the internal journey of God's people, relevant to both Millerite and modern contexts. Laodicean Adventism and fig tree symbolism. Laodicean Adventism represents the fruitless fig tree, professing but lacking spiritual fruitfulness. Christ's distinction between the fig tree and other trees symbolizes the differentiation between the remnant and Gentiles in the last days. The coming of the 144,000. The emergence of the 144,000 is heralded by specific signs echoing Christ's teachings on recognizing the season. Their sealing marks a transition from the church militant to the church triumphant, paralleling the fig trees budding out in spring. Eschatological relevance of Luke chapter 21. Jesus' teachings in Luke 21 emphasize the importance of recognizing signs of his advent and the imminent end of the world. Understanding these signs is crucial for spiritual preparedness and avoiding the fate of those who disregarded Noah's warning. This comprehensive exploration aims to elucidate the prophetic significance of biblical passages and historical events, guiding readers toward a deeper comprehension of eschatological truths and their implications for contemporary faith, the fulfillment of the signs represented by the sun. Moon and stars have been amply addressed by the historians, the pioneers of Adventism, and through the writings of Sister White. Some of the signs Jesus addressed are not as familiar as others. Few recognize that the distress of nations upon the earth had a specific fulfillment. They are not clear about what the symbol of the shaking of the powers of heaven, as opposed to the shaking the powers of earth, represent. And few Laodicean Adventists understand that the coming of the Son of Man coming in a cloud was fulfilled in Millerite history. The exact day and hour of Christ's coming have not been revealed. The Savior told his disciples that he himself could not make known the hour of his second appearing, but he mentioned certain events by which they might know when his coming was near. "There shall be signs," he said, "in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. The sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall. Upon the earth," he said, "there shall be distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." The signs in the sun, moon, and stars have been fulfilled. Since that time, earthquakes, tempests, tidal waves, pestilence, and famine have multiplied. The most awful destructions by fire and flood are following one another in quick succession. The terrible disasters that are taking place from week to week speak to us in earnest tones of warning, declaring that the end is near, that something great and decisive will soon of necessity take place. Probationary time will not continue much longer. Now God is withdrawing his restraining hand from the earth. Long has he been speaking to men and women through the agency of his Holy Spirit, but they have not heeded the call. Now he is speaking to his people and to the world by his judgments. The time of these judgments is a time of mercy for those who have not yet had opportunity to learn what is truth. Tenderly will the Lord look upon them. His heart of mercy is touched. His hand is still stretched out to save. Large numbers will be admitted to the fold of safety, who in these last days will hear the truth for the first time. Review and Herald, November 22, 1906. The Millerite history is repeated to the very letter in the last days. The signs that mark the arrival and history of the first angel typify signs that mark the arrival and history of the third angel. All the sacred reformatory movements parallel the movement of the third angel in the last days. The work of God in the earth presents, from age to age, a striking similarity in every great reformation or religious movement. The principles of God's dealing with men are ever the same. The important movements of the present have their parallel in those of the past, and the experience of the church in former ages has lessons of great value for our own time. The Great Controversy, 343. The history represented by the mighty angel of Revelation 18 is the third angel, and the history represented by the third angel runs parallel to the history of the first and second angels of Millerite history. God has given the messages of Revelation 14 their place in the line of prophecy, and their work is not to cease till the close of this earth's history. The first and second angels' messages are still truth for this time, and are to run parallel with this which follows. The third angel proclaims his warning with a loud voice. "After these things," said John, "I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory." In this illumination, the light of all the three messages is combined. The 1888 materials, 8003, 804. The work of the first and second angels, which is paralleled by the work of the third angel, is also illustrated in the parable of the 10 virgins. I am often referred to the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 of whom were wise and 5 foolish. This parable has been and will be fulfilled to the very letter, for it has a special application to this time, and, like the third angel's message, has been fulfilled and will continue to be present truth till the close of time. Review and Herald, August 19, 1890. The history represented in Revelation chapter 10 of the book of Revelation is represented as the seven thunders, and the seven thunders represent the events which took place during the history of the Millerites, which was the history of the first and second angels' messages. The seven thunders also represent future events that occur in the last days, and they are fulfilled in the same order as they were in the history of the Millerites. The special light given to John, which was expressed in the seven thunders, was a delineation of events which would transpire under the first and second angels' messages. After these seven thunders uttered their voices, the injunction comes to John as to Daniel in regard to the little book, "Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered." These relate to future events which will be disclosed in their order. The Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, Volume 7, 971. All the Reform movements parallel one another, and they are to be brought together, line upon line, in order to illustrate the final reformatory movement of the 144,000. The parable of the 10 virgins illustrates the internal experience of God's people in the Millerite movement and the movement of the 144,000. The parable of the 10 virgins of Matthew 25 also illustrates the experience of the Adventist people. The Great Controversy, 393. The work and message of both the Millerites and the 144,000 is represented by the three angels of Revelation 14. I have had precious opportunities to obtain an experience. I have had an experience in the first, second, and third angels' messages. The angels are represented as flying in the midst of heaven, proclaiming to the world a message of warning and having a direct bearing upon the people living in the last days of this earth's history. No one hears the voice of these angels, for they are a symbol to represent the people of God who are working in harmony with the universe of heaven. Men and women, enlightened by the Spirit of God and sanctified through the truth, proclaim the three messages in their order. Life Sketches 429. The prophetic events represented in Revelation chapter 10 are represented by the seven thunders. Those events mark where the divine is joined with the human. The signs that were identified by Christ in Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 represent the signs that ushered in the Millerite movement and represent a parallel testimony to the movement of the 144,000. The 144,000 do not taste of death, as represented by Enoch and Elijah. September 11, 2001, the sign that Christ identified as marking the arrival of the final generation of Earth's history is identified in Luke chapter 21. To be among that group that has been represented by Enoch and Elijah, who are called the 144,000, requires that the sign and all that it represents is recognized. After Jesus led his disciples down through the history of the signs, which ushered in the Millerite movement, he then repeated and enlarged his historical testimony by including a parable that represented the same history. And he spake to them a parable, "Behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Luke 21:29-33. Jesus begins the parable by identifying a distinction between the fig tree, in the singular, and all the trees. The fig tree is the covenant people, who in the last days is Laodicean Adventism, who profess to be the remnant people of God. The other trees were the Gentiles. Mark the cursing of the fig tree, representing the Jewish nation, covered with leaves of profession, but no fruit to be found thereon. The curse is pronounced upon the fig tree, which represents the moral, thinking, living agent, cursed of God, living as were the Jews for 40 years after this event, yet dead. Mark, the other trees, representing the Gentiles, were not covered. They were leafless, making no pretension to having a knowledge of God. Their time of fruit leaving was not yet. Special Testimonies for Ministers and Workers, number 7, 59-61. Laodicean Adventism in the last days is cursed, for though it professes to be the remnant people of God, its profession is fruitless. Jesus is making two interconnected but different points in the passage. He is identifying the distinction between the professed people of God and the Gentiles, who do not profess to uphold the law of God or possess the spirit of prophecy, which are the characteristics of the remnant of the last days, which Laodicean Adventism professes to uphold. The leaves in the last days represent the claimed profession to be the remnant identified by John in the book of Revelation. The Gentile world was represented by the leafless, fruitless fig trees. The Gentiles were destitute, as were the Jews, of godliness, but they had not claimed to be in favor with God. They made no boast of exalted spirituality. They were blind in every sense to the ways and works of God. With them the time for figs was not yet. They were still looking forward to a day which would bring them light and hope. Signs of the Times, February 15, 1899. The distinction between the fig tree and the other trees was given one other distinction by Christ. The time for the trees to bud out for the figs was different than the time for the Gentiles' trees to bud out. In the last days, two distinct calls are given to the churches, and the first voice from the angel of Revelation chapter 18 identifies the time when the budding out for the 144,000 was to occur. The second voice of Revelation 18 represents when the other trees were to bud out. In Christ's day, the Jews were the fig tree, the Gentiles were the other trees. In Millerite history, the Protestants were the fig tree, and the Millerites were the other trees. In the last days, Laodicean Adventism is the fruitless fig tree which is removed from Jerusalem, the vineyard, and the 144,000 are the fig tree that bears fruit. God's other children who are still in Babylon are represented as the Gentiles. A Gentile, by definition, is a stranger. The Gentile trees are dormant, dead, bearing no buds or fruit at the time the fig tree buds out and comes to life. A dormant tree is a dry tree, and when the Gentiles are called to come out of Babylon, by the second voice of Revelation chapter 18, they will then choose to keep the seventh-day Sabbath and enter into covenant with the Lord. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house, and within my walls, a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger, that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Isaiah 56, verse 3-7. A stranger is a Gentile, and the second voice calls them to come out of Babylon, and they are brought to God's holy mountain. It will be his holy mountain, for the wheat and tares will have been separated by the testing process represented in the history of the first voice. When they come to the mountain of the Lord in the last days, the Gentiles will no longer be strangers or dry trees. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. Joel 3:15-17. The ushering in of the history where the second voice calls God's other flock out of Babylon has signs that were typified by the signs of the Millerite movement. In Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21, Christ's testimony that we are considering is set forth. In each of those three witnesses, one of the signs identified is that the powers of heaven shall be shaken. But in Joel's representation of the signs, which identify when Jerusalem shall be holy, both the heavens and the earth shall shake. Joel is identifying the perfect fulfillment of the predicted signs that occur when Jerusalem is holy. That time is when the Lord has removed the sins from the 144,000 and the Church of Laodicea has transitioned to the movement of Philadelphia. It is then that the sixth movement, Philadelphia, becomes the eighth movement, Philadelphia, that is of the seven churches. It is then that the church militant becomes the church triumphant. The church militant is a label for God's church that is composed of the wheat and the tares. The church triumphant is God's holy mountain that is holy, and no strangers pass through her anymore. The ushering in of the ensign that is lifted up, which is the church triumphant, which is the eighth that is of the seven, which is when Jerusalem is holy, is accompanied by signs. In order for Jesus to provide the point of reference for his people to recognize the life or death sign that identifies the sealing of the 144,000, he employed trees and the natural cycle of a tree's life to teach the all-important lesson. Christ had bidden his people watch for the signs of his advent and rejoice as they should behold the tokens of their coming king. When these things begin to come to pass, he said, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. He pointed his followers to the budding trees of spring and said, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Luke 21:28-30-31. The Great Controversy, 308. When the trees of spring begin to bud out, summer is near. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. The budding trees identify that it is spring, and we then know summer is near, and it is in the summer when the harvest is gathered. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Matthew 13:39. The harvest is at the end of the world. When the trees begin to bud out, you are required to know that the end of the world is imminent. One saying of the Savior must not be made to destroy another. Though no man knoweth the day nor the hour of his coming, we are instructed and required to know when it is near. We are further taught that to disregard his warning and refuse or neglect to know when his advent is near will be as fatal for us as it was for those who lived in the days of Noah not to know when the flood was coming. The Great Controversy, 371. We will continue our study of Luke chapter 21 in the next article. I saw that the powers of earth are now being shaken and that events come in order. War and rumors of war, sword, famine, and pestilence are first to shake the powers of earth. Then the voice of God will shake the sun, moon, and stars, and this earth also. I saw that the shaking of the powers in Europe is not, as some teach, the shaking of the powers of heaven, but it is the shaking of the angry nations. Early Writings 41.